This is my will, my one command, that love should dwell in each and all. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that is what Christ wants us to know from John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. You can follow along with the reading in your bulletin. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The words of Jesus. And what Jesus wants isn't complicated. It's simple. It's so simple, we could summarize it in three words of truth. In fact, all of our Lenten services tonight will focus on simple ideas summarized in three words of truth, and tonight it's this: love one another. And Ash Wednesday is a great day for us to look down the church pew and think, how have I loved these people? It's a great day for us to look around the dinner table and say, how have I loved these people? Because Jesus spoke these words around a dinner table. The night he was betrayed, he sat at dinner with his disciples. These words come from Jesus, the Son of Man, who was hours from his arrest and beating and crucifixion. But these words come from the Son of God, who has lived forever in heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit, perfectly loving each other forever in the past. A perfect community of love. And tonight he would have us direct our eyes at one another. He says, love one another. But of course, that idea of loving each other, this is in the Bible all over the place. It's not just Jesus. In fact, we can find this all the way back at the very beginning of time, right? The beginning of the Bible. When God created the whole world and he knew that we would plunge it into sin and death, and he would be the one who had to come and save us, but he still created the world. He showed love. Let's contrast God's love against our love. So God showed love at the beginning by giving Adam a perfect place to live and a great job and a perfect soulmate. God did everything for Adam. Glorious love for him. Contrast that to how Adam showed love. You remember when that first sin happened? Eve is standing there looking at the fruit. The snake is tempting her to take the fruit off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Adam's standing right there. The Bible says he was with her. And he prioritizes his comfort, his convenience, his own self above the soul of his mate. And ever since then, it's been sin. Is our love more like God's love or like Adam and Eve's love? We need someone to love us. We need someone to love us because so often we fail like they did. We need to say, Lord, have mercy. And he did. Right there in the Garden of Eden, God made the first promise of Jesus. He said, I'm going to send my son to crush the head of the snake. I'm going to send my son to be crushed. This is love. Glorious, glorious love. But Adam and Eve's descendants, they didn't do much better, did they? You remember this story? The children of Israel are marching through the wilderness. They were in Egypt, right? They were in Egypt, slaves in Egypt, but God set them free. This is what the Bible says. God said to his people, "You have seen what I did to Egypt, how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." God wanted to make these people his people. What glorious love! And God wanted those people that he loved to love each other. So he gave them some commandments. This is how Jesus summarized God's commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You remember how they did? As God was giving those commands to them, they were at the bottom of a mountain worshiping a false idol. And they would proceed for the next years and centuries after that to bicker among each other, to fight among each other, and to do everything but show love for one another. Lord, have mercy. Is our love in our community, both in our church and in our neighborhoods, is our love more like God's love for his children, or like the Israelites' love? We need someone to come love us because of all our failures. And so right there in the desert, God promised through Moses, I will raise up for these people a prophet from among their brothers. God promised to send Jesus who would keep every law that we break. What glorious love. And then God kept his promise. God sent Jesus. Jesus came down to this earth. And before we go any further, let's not miss the glory in that love. Jesus came down to this earth. We will talk a lot on every Wednesday and every Sunday during Lent. We'll talk about Jesus being here on earth and what he said and what he did. Let's not miss how amazing that is. What on earth is the Son of God doing on earth? He doesn't have to be here, right? The Bible describes what it's like to live in heaven. There's no heartbreak, there's no tears, there's no sadness. It's perfect. It says God lives in unapproachable light. But when we met Jesus sitting around the dinner table, he was not living in unapproachable light, was he? He was sitting by Thomas, the doubter, and Peter, the denier, and Judas, the betrayer. What on earth is Jesus doing on earth? There's only one reason he came down from heaven. Because he loves us. He loves us enough to come. So can you picture him doing this love? He came here to show us love. So let's take a look at what it was like. Can you picture him serving his family and serving his friends perfectly, showing them love the whole time? What must that have looked like? Glorious love. But love gets more glorious than that. Can you picture him on the night before he died, as he sat around, right before he sat around this table with his disciples? He's got a towel tied around his waist. He's down on his knees and he's washing feet. And the camera pans up, and whose feet are these but Judas? This is love. Glorious love to wash the feet of your enemy. But love gets more glorious than that. And you picture your Savior stretched out on a cross with the weight of all the sins of the world on his shoulder. Why is he there? What on earth is the Son of God doing on a cross? And can you picture this perfect community of love in heaven between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit broken? As Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? There's only one reason why that love was broken. There's only one reason why Jesus is on that cross. It's because he loves us. He loves us enough to take away our sins. And love doesn't get any more glorious than that. Jesus' best friend wrote this. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Glorious, glorious love. The Apostle Paul wrote this. God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, Ash Wednesday is a great day for us to look around the room and ask, how well have we loved one another? But if you, like me, have to raise your hand and say, I have failed at that. I have been selfish and I have not loved others the way God wants me to. If you have to admit that, then let's cry out today, God, have mercy on us. Because we know that he has had mercy. Jesus Christ has taken away every one of your failures to love. He has left them at the cross. And so all of your past failures are irrelevant to the future of how you love from now on. Because Jesus died for them. Glorious, glorious love that set us free from our sins. But Jesus didn't stay dead, right? He rose from the dead on the third day, and he ascended into heaven. And guess where he lives now? In glorious, unapproachable light, where he rules the world for us. But we don't live there yet, do we? Not yet. And so Jesus gave us one job. Until we get to heaven, he said, I give you a new command. Love one another. Specifically, he said, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Until we get to heaven, that's our new job. He said it's a new command, but is it really? I mean, what's new about it? I mean, Adam and Eve knew they were supposed to love. And the children of Israel knew they were supposed to love. And even now, every atheist knows that you're supposed to love other people. I bought a car last fall, and on the car is a bumper sticker that I did not put on there. And it says, when the power of love overcomes the love of power, then the world will know peace. And it's not Jesus' picture that's on there. It's Jimi Hendrix. I did not put it on there. You can't run me off the road if you see your pastor with Jimi Hendrix on there. Because everybody knows we should love, so what is new about Jesus' command? What is so fresh about Jesus' command? It can't be the command. No, what's new and different and revolutionary about Jesus' command is Jesus. Is Jesus has given us a brand new motivation and a brand new basis for our love. It's not a love that depends on how loving you're feeling today. It's not a love that depends on how lovable the people around you are being today. It starts with Jesus. It's a love that depends on how loving Jesus is. He says, I have loved you, so love one another. That love really does make a difference. It changes the world. I've got evidence for that right here. I've got here a copy or an excerpt from a letter that was written in the Roman Empire 100 years after Jesus died. So Jesus dies, 100 years goes by, and a pagan philosopher writes to the pagan emperor of Rome describing what Christians are like. This is what he says. They love one another, and they don't hesitate to honor widows. They rescue orphans who are being abused. The one who has gives to the one who lacks, without bragging about it. If they meet a stranger, they take him into their homes and they rejoice over him like they were brothers. If there's any among them who is poor and needy, they will fast for 2 or 3 days just so they have something to share with the one who's lacking food. They observe the teachings of their Messiah with much care. They live soberly as the Lord their God commanded them. How about that? The distinctive thing that Romans and Greeks noticed about Christians is they love one another. Is that what Appleton thinks about Mount Olive? I don't know. I haven't read any mail from anybody out there, because that's a felony. But I do know this. Jesus said, we're living in the time when the love of most will grow cold. And it's so easy to go along with that tide, isn't it? It's so easy to love those who are like us, but not love those who are different from us. It's so easy for us to love when we're having a good day, but not when we're having a bad day. It's really easy, even when we do show love, to let it be halfway love. Half generously given away for others, but half doing it so that we can feel good about ourselves and what we've done. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us for our half-hearted love. And he has had mercy on us. He has. In fact, there's no better place to start loving one another than on our knees on Ash Wednesday saying, Lord, have mercy. Because that's where love for one another starts. Jesus today brings us a brand new kind of love, a Lenten kind of love that doesn't matter how you're feeling today. It doesn't matter how nice your people around you are being, because Jesus always loves us. And so Jesus always says, love one another, because I have loved you. The marvel of Jesus' love is this, that it is so steady. Every day, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. And every day, he assures us that we are his children. Every morning, his mercies are new. And so every day, I feel like joining in with the psalmist who wrote, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? Tonight we have Jesus' answer. How can I repay the Lord? It's not a list of principles or programs or ideas. It's three simple words of truth. Love one another. God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand. Confess our Christian faith that we share using